Hello and welcome to the Hoop Collective podcast. We talk about the NBA, which we're doing on early Wednesday morning on the East Coast. Joining us from New York City, where it is Wednesday, it's Tim Bontemps.
Hello, everybody.
I believe you were in Philly for the Sixers' big win on Monday night over the Miami Heat.
I was in Philly for Sixers Heat, and if things go as they're supposed to tomorrow, I'll be in Boston for what should be a very fun Celtics-Bucks game on Wednesday.
Absolutely. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. Joining us from Minneapolis, Minnesota, where on Tuesday night he watched a spirited and unexpected, considering who was out for the Wolves, but a spirited game between the Nuggets and Wolves, is Ben McMahon.
Howdy, partners. It's always a pleasure to make it up north here to Minneapolis, where I have not been outdoors since got dropped off by the Uber.
That's the way to go in the winter in Minneapolis. You can get from one end of the downtown to the other without going outside. The Minnesotans are quite smart when it comes to how to handle the winter. So this game that you were at tonight, McMahon, two big games you've now been at for the Nuggets over the last few days. This game was a bummer because, first off, it's the second night of a back-to-back for the Wolves, so tough situation for them. Obviously, tremendous finish to the game in Utah on Monday night with Ant, with that incredible dunk and overcoming a dislocated finger. But no Naz Reid. He was out. No Rudy Gobert due to the rib injury. Obviously, no Karl Towns. They were playing Luke Garza. I think Luke Garza got like 25 minutes. He's a two-way guy. He got 25
Luca
minutes.
Luca Garza.
Sorry.
Who is 6'10", 235, chiseled, and looks tiny when he stands next to Joker.
Yeah, that guy is definitely ripped. But he's their fourth-string center, essentially.
Yes.
And he's playing against Jokic. So,
well, Kyle Anderson started at the five. I mean, and look, there were all the makings for this to be a blowout win for the Nuggets, right? The Nuggets are coming off of a game that they were rather perturbed to lose in Dallas, not just because Kyrie hit one of the most amazing buzzer beaters in NBA history, but they got absolutely hammered on the glass. They had to listen to Michael Malone since then just scream at him about, hey, since the All-Star break, you guys are ranked 30th in defensive rebound rate. And trust me, you know Michael Malone when he's got a point to make.
They're also 12-2, but go ahead.
Right. But that was their one flaw. And now they're facing this Wolves team that, as you laid out, you know, they've got all these bigs, except for they were all in street clothes. So, and then not only is it a back-to-back, it's the first game home from a two-week road trip. How many times do you see a team first game home after a long road trip? It's kind of a letdown. So, and they were up on them big for a while. And then, man, Ant Edwards, I'm not breaking any news here. That dude is awesome. Absolutely awesome. And just took over the third quarter. And it's a combination of athleticism, skill, and charisma. And he's waving to the crowd, getting everybody hyped. The building's going absolutely crazy. They've got the Timberwolves storm back and take a lead. And, you know, then the Nuggets do what you expect. And that's just kind of march it down. Joker comes in about, I think he checked in, 7 minutes left.
Yeah, it was six Takes minutes over. And change. And as soon as Jokic and Michael Porter Jr. came in, they went on a 10-0 run. And that was pretty much it.
That started with.
I wouldn't quite say it was pretty much it. I mean, we had
it was never tied again.
Hold on, though. It did, but no, it was the ball was in the air at the buzzer with a chance to send it in overtime.
It was a very good
you know
look
what?
From.
I
Ant
have to cop
too.
To something. I turned the game off.
Oh, you
like
missed
30 seconds left. So you I have to hairy. Cop to that.
What you missed.
Yeah, lay out the final 30 seconds, McMahon.
I'm totally in the dark, so I apologize.
Oh, great work.
So yeah, good job. Glad that
well, I just figured that nothing ever goes wrong for the Nuggets in the last 10 seconds. I mean, what could possibly go wrong?
Except for when I'm in the building, apparently. So, you know, long story short, MPJ hits a free throw, puts the Nuggets up 4 with 20 seconds left, misses the second. Okay. Joker grabs a rebound. He gets fouled. He splits a couple. So they're up 5.
Okay, when Jokic got that rebound is when I turned it off.
Okay, so they're up 5 with 17 seconds left. Ant, who, by the way, didn't score in the fourth quarter.
He was gassed, in my view.
Well, he was under siege because they were basically like, you are not just going to continue dominating this game. We are going to force you to give up the ball. And he did, and he actually did a good job passing the ball, had 3 or 4 assists for threes, including this one to Mike Conley. So 12 seconds left. It is a two-point game. MPJ gets fouled, hits both of them. Jaden McDaniels knocks down a three. By the way,
he had a very good night. Yes, he had a great night.
He had a really good night. He knocks down a three with 4 seconds left. Another foul. Jamal Murray makes both. It is a three-point game with 4 seconds left. They get the ball to Ant, and he's storming up the court. And KCP, you know, the Nuggets are a smart team. Michael Malone's a great coach. They're a veteran team. You're up three. What are you going to do? You're going to take a foul. You're going to make him go hit two free throws and have to pull out a miracle. Well, Ant had the most impressive truck stick seen in Minnesota sports since Adrian Peterson left the Vikings. I'm telling you, listen, I don't want to talk too bad about these referees. I saw them in the concierge lounge today. There was one sub-6-footer on the crew, oh, no. But I think he can bench press about 450, so I ain't talking any kind of smack. But how the hell? KCP is trying to take a foul. He makes contact and sticks his shoulder into KCP's chest. I'm talking KCP. It's like heels up in the air, back and ass on the floor. Ant steps into a wide open three. KCP has to like roll over and look behind him to see this thing, and it's slow motion. And remember,
the Nuggets, I missed all this, Bontemps.
The Nuggets are fresh off of losing.
Great job
on just a wild 21-foot hook shot. Not even wild, a rather smooth 21-foot left-handed hook shot by Kyrie. So he releases his thing. I'm like, this thing's going in overtime. He missed it. It actually wasn't that close, but it went down.
It was online, but it was short. It was wild. It was a wild sequence. That Jaden McDaniels threw is a big time shot too. I mean, it was contested. The Mike Conley threw was contested. I mean, they were crazy shots. And you know, it was a heck of an effort from the Wolves.
And obviously, look, big win for the Nuggets. They pull back into a tie for first with OKC. The Thunder have the tiebreaker, but still. I was really impressed with the Wolves because this had like nobody would have blinked or said a word.
That's an easy rollover game.
Yeah. Nobody would have said a word. Dude, Ant's competitiveness is pretty damn impressive. And then for him to be so, like I said, they just kept throwing extra bodies at him in the fourth quarter. He didn't try to force anything. He kept making the right play, I thought it was an awfully impressive performance by him. And, you know, you have like KCP postgame basically says, this guy is a top five player in the league. He's an absolute bull. And again, when you talk about the best players in the league, he might be the best defender of the elite tier.
Yeah. I mean, he's a heck of a player. And like we talked, I mean, look, there was all the combination of smack talk and potentially real talk about how that Minnesota series was the toughest series that Denver had last year. And as of now, that is at least a potential second round matchup where, in theory, if they can get there, Karl Towns would, in theory, have some time to get himself feeling pretty good by the time that series would come around. I will also say,
perhaps.
Right. The other side of that, if it is Minnesota Sacramento in the first round, which is what it lines up to be right now, that is a dangerous matchup for Minnesota because Sacramento has really played well against them this year. And especially if Towns is either not playing or banged up in that series, they've had trouble keeping up with Sacramento this year. Just something to monitor if we get to that point, because that could look pretty good for the Kings if they can manage to stay in front of Dallas. Right now, they're tied eight back Oklahoma City in the West.
I got a little secret for you. The Mavs would be a tough matchup too, because the Mavs are playing pretty damn well, and they've got two dudes who can take over a playoff.
If people are thinking about Luka, like if you see the Mavs there, you're going to automatically be thinking about Luka that way. I don't think people have studied the Kings-Wolves matchup that closely.
The funny thing is, kind of what we're saying is, man, if you're Minnesota, you better hope you match up with KD and Booker in the first round. Think about that.
Well, so one thing I noticed in this game, they had Jaden McDaniels defend Jokic some. And obviously there's a huge pound difference there. But Jaden had some success, and maybe some is a relative term. He had some success in making Jokic, in denying the ball to Jokic in the middle, because he's got such long arms and he's pretty agile. And there were times where Jokic had to come off his spot to go get the ball, or they just gave it up. And also they used, as you mentioned, Kyle Anderson on him. And I wonder
Garza.
And Garza. And I think one thing that Chris Finch might take away from this game is that they did have some success keeping the Jokic hub machine turned down a little bit. He had the fewest assists of any game he's had this year. He had been three. He only had two. He didn't have an assist until he came into the game in the fourth quarter with 6+ minutes left. It was when he had his first assist in the game.
Yeah, he had a dribble handoff to MPJ who hit it's a nice play by Joker, but MPJ hit a tough three off that. And then the next possession, Porter had a nice back cut. Joker hit him on a layup. Those were his only two assists of the game.
Yeah. Now Jamal Murray had 11 assists. It wasn't like they shut him down. But.
Well, and that's the thing. They were sending a lot of help at Joker, but the fact he only had two assists tells you like they were executing their defensive schemes awfully well. But I wasn't watching aside the third quarter. The Nuggets just stunk it up all around. But the other three quarters, I wasn't watching it and saying, man, the ball's not moving. Like, I still thought the ball's moving. He was still making the right reads. And he had 35 points on 14 of 22 shoots.
He also just dropped in a couple of just dagger threes in that fourth.
Yeah. The moon balls.
Yes. But I do think there was some stuff for Minnesota to take away from this game. Unfortunately for the Wolves, they've got to play him two more times. And you know, that this is just one of the things that made the Towns injury just so killer is he's so valuable in this matchup. Mm-hmm. They did win the first time against them way back. I think it was in November. This is the first time they've played in like three quarters of the season. And so one of the things you were looking forward to was these three matchups. It's a little bit unfortunate for the Wolves that they used the Target Center for both the men's and women's Big Ten tournaments. I think it was cool that they had them there, and they obviously got to have Caitlin Clark in 2 weeks ago, and that they had an overtime, and the Big Ten final was awesome, and then the Big Ten tournament last week. But like, I question kicking your NBA team out of your arena for 2 weeks in March.
Well, that's your 2 week road trip. And listen, the Wolves can use all the money they can get. You know, any way they can raise some funds right now, they're all for it.
Yeah, which there is some news on the Wolves ownership front, which I know is kind of dry, but Glenn Taylor's been literally trying to sell the Wolves for like 12 years. And Mark Lori, it said Mark Lori and Alex Rodriguez, but Alex Rodriguez is a supporting partner. It's Mark Lori's group. Mm-hmm. They were supposed to finish the deal at the end of December. Lori got more time to the end of March. Glenn Taylor gave an interview at the beginning of March where he said, oh, I thought they were supposed to buy me out by the beginning of March. And then Lori put out a statement, no, it was the end of March. And I think I said on the pod, I was like, do you know when your $1.5 billion deal is closing? Because, you know, I would pay attention to that.
Yeah.
And so Glenn Taylor gave another interview on Tuesday. And he was like, yeah, they had an investment firm that was going to give them $300 million to close this deal, and it fell apart. And so now they're looking to get $300 million.
Hey, last time A-Rod needed a few hundred million, the Texas Rangers signed him. Maybe he can pull that off again.
What was that deal? Was that a $250 million deal?
It was $252, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I believe you're right, $250.
That was a jaw-dropper.
Baseball, football, like, we're gonna hit them all tonight.
Yeah, so... I guess they have until the end of March, unless they get another extension, but they lost $300 million that they thought they were going to get. And again, this is according to the guy who's selling the team.
Well,
this is not sources said.
Anytime you have a team that's emerging as a contender and is going to have a massive luxury bill, a luxury tax bill next season, if they keep it together, what you really want is owners who can't afford to buy the team.
Exactly right. Exactly right. So
anyways, enjoy this playoff run. Let's just say, enjoy this playoff run.
The other thing I'll say, Jokic, I'm sure, was glued to YouTube this afternoon when the Olympic draw was held for the Olympic basketball tournament, which I am declaring will be the most competitive international basketball event ever staged.
Oh my gosh, that's a prediction.
That's a declaration.
The basis for this is what?
My expertise.
Oh, you wouldn't know anything about that, would you, Bontemps?
Wow. No, I guess not.
So the draw was held, and Serbia was drawn into Team USA's group, and the schedule was released. And so on July 28th, the first game for the U.S. out of the gates at the Olympics will be against Serbia, and we hope Nikola Jokic. Well, maybe the Team USA doesn't hope it, but I'd like to see Jokic in the game. And so that's going to be right out of the gates. And, you know, the last time, in the last Olympics in 21, which was in Tokyo, the U.S. played France in the first game and lost. Ended up getting a rematch in the gold medal game. The U.S. came back and won. But that's going to be one of the best games the pool play, Serbia versus the U.S. And there is three groups in Olympic play, three groups of four, 12 teams make it. And there is a absolute, every time there's a World Cup in the FIFA World Cup, there is always one group that's declared the group of death. Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, the group of death in this one, Canada, Australia, who was the bronze medalist in Tokyo, and the qualifier, there's four teams that can still qualify. The qualifier from Spain, which will probably, there's six teams trying to qualify, but the two leading contenders would be Spain, who was the number two ranked team in the world that hasn't qualified yet, and the Bahamas, which could have three or four NBA players on it, DeAndre Ayton, Eric Gordon, Buddy Hield. And
who's the fourth?
Qualifier from Greece, which will have Greece, and Giannis has said he hopes to play, and Slovenia, which Luka has always played. So
Luka always plays. And by the way, I did go to Nuggets shoot around, and Vlatko Chanchar was working hard after shoot around. Still, it was a lot of spot up shooting that I saw, but there's at least some hope that he can progress enough to play in the Olympics for Slovenia.
That would be huge for Slovenia. Yeah.
Now, he's their only other NBA player on the roster, and obviously got significant experience for the national team, and they missed him in the World Cup.
That's where he got hurt.
Sure. He got hurt in a World Cup.
Qualifier, didn't he?
Qualifier. Yeah. By the way, the first day, so the Olympic opening ceremonies is July 26th. They're not going to be in a stadium. They're going to have all of the countries are going to ride down the Seine, which is a river, McMahon. I know you've been to Paris, so I know you know that.
I don't know anything about Seine.
I'm sure he doesn't. And then the next
That's time to move along.
The first day of the Olympics, Canada will play the Greek qualifier. So you could see, in theory, Giannis play Luka for the spot in the Olympics, and then the Canadians with Shea Gilgeous-Alexander et al. Playing that winner right out of the gates on day one of the Olympics to begin that two and a half week long tournament, which will be, I think, super highly entertaining basketball. I'm sure Joker that's all he's talking about after the game.
Probably watching some trotters.
I must admit, if I was thinking about it, I would have asked him about it, but it slipped my mind.
I'm sure he's like, whatever. He's like, he's like, I don't care. I beat the U.S. last time I played him. I'll beat him again.
Well, I don't. Has he? He has not committed to playing.
He has said he wants to play.
Okay.
But obviously, one of the reasons why he didn't play last year, I think, was because he was looking ahead, saying,
right,
I hope to get back to the finals next year, and then I hope to play in the Olympics. If he's healthy.
At some point. Yeah.
Bontemps is bored with me talking about national team basketball. But
it's going to be a fun Olympics.
I agree it will be a fun Olympics. So we should just probably talk more about it in the summertime.
All right.
That's all. Thanks for getting us back on track, Bontemps.
I think we want to give them an appetizing taste of it, not an entree. Right.
Can take a plunge into sin.
More Hoop Collective podcast after this.
You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems, but nothing on your roof. So who's ever up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-timey chimney sweeps, moody teenagers, girl-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish. But you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit directtv.com. Sign up today. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. Anyway, we have an interesting game coming up Wednesday night, which will be on ESPN. Bucks and Celtics in Boston. Right now, the number 1 and 2 seeds in the Eastern Conference. You'll remember the last time they played back in January. As impressive as the Celtics have been this season, and I think they've got a 10-game lead over the Bucks right now in the East. I think if they win this game, their magic number to clinch the number 1 seed in the East is like down to 1 or 2, or maybe 3.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
But they have not always played their best basketball against the cream of the crop. They've struggled against some of the top teams in the West, 0-2 against Denver. And the last time they played the Bucks back on January 11th, before the Bucks had really started making any sort of turn, and that game was in Milwaukee, right?
Yeah.
Temps? You were there,
Bucks,
right?
Bucks, I was not. Bucks went 18 for 42 from 3. Celtics went 9 for 35. Bucks won by 32.
Yeah. So,
in fairness to the Celtics, I am going to point out that
they have the second half of back to back, I believe.
Yeah, but they had all their players. It wasn't like they were missing Porzingis and Tatum.
Right. It's true. I'm just going to say above 500 opponents, they're 28-13. That is the best record in basketball. So they haven't been perfect, but they've still been pretty damn good.
Yeah, but I'm talking about against the teams that they might face in the conference finals. Creme
de la creme.
Yeah, they've lost twice to Denver, I would say.
I think they lost to the Clippers at home, sir.
I don't think we're including the Clippers in the creme de la creme.
Well, I'm not giving up on, at the moment, maybe not. But
you're not giving up on the teams that we're not allowed to talk about.
Yes, I think we're going to issue an edict.
The USWB is.
I mean, I can do it if you want.
Do it.
I support the edict. Go ahead, Bontemps.
ESPN only talks about the Lakers and Warriors. We talk about the NBA. We're not talking about the Lakers and Warriors till one of them is not in the 9-10. One of them is not in the 9-10 game in the Western Conference, which means we'll probably be talking about them again on Wednesday, the 18th, when they're playing in the 9-10 game.
I was going to say, or until that game.
Right.
We might talk about a team that could bump them out, but anyways,
yeah, well, that's fine. But we're going to stop talking about them.
Let's focus on Bucks.
By the way, you can catch the Warriors against the Grizzlies in the late game on ESPN on Wednesday night.
Wednesday. I'm sure the Lakers will be out again soon, too.
That's against the Memphis Hustle. Oh, no, I shouldn't say that. Listen, Desmond Bane came back and he's playing.
Yeah, they gave the old Kings quite a scare with basically everybody back the other day. At least everybody who was available to come back.
Interesting.
Kings escape from that one.
One particular interesting substitution decision down the stretch, I thought, helped the Grizzlies maintain some lottery position.
What would that be, Tim?
I'm not getting into it. Let's go.
All right. Anyway, the Celtics.
Ulterior motives at play.
The Celtics have won their last 9 home games by 240 points. That's pretty good.
That seems not bad.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I'll just say they're 0-2 against Denver. They lost to the Clippers at home. They lost to the Bucks by 30 the last time they played. They haven't played the Thunder yet. They have 2 games left with the Thunder.
That's not true. They played the Thunder and lost and I believe beat them in Oklahoma City.
I totally missed that. I thought they had 2 games left with them.
Oh, they played.
I must have turned that game off.
They had a great game. They had a great game.
No, you were blacked out. City. Pass.
Hey, baby. I'm in LA I had no problem watching Denver, Minnesota tonight. No, it was glorious.
The Thunder won the game 127-123 on January 2nd. It was a really fun back and forth game. Shea hit a couple shots down the stretch to win the game.
Boy, I thought I said that they had trouble against the top teams. And, you know, I knew I said it for a reason. I thought I said that.
In fairness, they've got the best record in the league against above 500 opponents. But your point has been made, sir.
Okay. Sorry. I forgot they played the Thunder, so I'm obviously...
You're really on top.
Thank you. Well, it's late. It's late.
That's what it is.
Yeah. Look, what I really want to see in this game is I want to see it come down to the last couple minutes because this is where the Celtics are tested. And the thing about it is, you know, the last couple of... You know, some of these games, the Celtics are so awesome when they shoot the three well that they can just overwhelm people, especially on their home court. And that is an indication of a great team. When you are deep and you can shoot the heck out of it. There is some injury concern in this game. Giannis missed the game on Sunday when the Bucks.
Yeah, they only beat the Suns by like 60.
Well, again, they made 18 threes in the first half of that game. The Suns are a different topic because the Suns, as a quick aside here, in one of the most hard to fathom statistics that exist in the NBA this season, in the fourth quarter, the Phoenix Suns, with two Hall of Famers, but Bradley Beal's got a good chance to be a Hall of Famer. Mm-hmm. Three Hall of Famers, they rank 30th in fourth quarter offense.
Incredible. 0 DFL. It's not great.
Everybody who's talked about the Suns all season has denoted that their fourth quarters are horrible. I just want to articulate how horrible they are. Their net rating in the fourth quarter is negative 14 points per 100 possessions. Okay. The difference between the Suns at 30, negative 14, and the team in 29th, which is actually the Heat, which is a different topic. This difference between the two of them is the same difference there is between the Heat at 29 and the team that's in eighth.
Yeah, it's pretty large.
They are the worst team in the fourth quarter by a secretariat winning the Preakness. Is that too obscure of a reference?
Hey, listen, we've got Adrian Peterson, shortstop Alex Rodriguez, secretary.
You made some sort of Texan
football.
That's a
triple crown, baby.
You made some sort of Texan reference, like putting a helmet stick or something like that. I had no idea what you're
talking about. Truck
stick. A truck stick.
That's a more of like a Tecmo Bowl type of video game reference.
There you go.
I played Tecmo Bowl. I don't remember doing that.
The truck stick, I would say, is more of a Madden reference. But
whatever. Yeah. One of those video games.
To bring it back around to Celtics Bucks. I mentioned earlier the Celtics didn't shoot the three well in that game. It went 9 for 35. I don't remember which now. In that game against the Bucks on January 11th. I just want to give you guys a stat. When the Celtics hit more than 33% of their threes this season, not 38, not 40, more than a third of their threes, they are 46-3. When they are under 33%, when they're 33% or under, their record is 8-11. So, I mean, we've talked in the past about Celtics turnovers being a pretty key tracker, and at times the Celtics shooting 40% from three. This year it's 33%, and if they're over that, they're basically unbeaten on the year. So they lost the one game to Oklahoma City, they lost the game to Cleveland the other day when they blew the 20-point fourth quarter lead, and they lost a game to Indiana by 2 points back in early January. Those are the three games they've lost when they've shot the ball well. So that's really the first thing you got to look for at Boston every game. If they're shooting the ball well from three, it's not usually going to go well for the other team.
Well, and then the other thing, we keep hammering on it, but if it's close, they're just okay. They're not awful. And actually, their overall clutch numbers are very good. They're plus 18.9 net rating, which ranks seventh in the league. But that within 5 points in 5 minutes, that's the technical definition of clutch. As you boys know from Cajone's Factor Player of the Month presentations, there's nut cutting time. One possession game, last 3 minutes. They've had 21 of those. They're 11-10. Okay. They're still awesome defensively. 101 defense rating, but their offensive rating is only 107, which in 2024 stinks.
Yep. And a bunch of those games, they haven't had Kristaps Porzingis. And when they don't have him out there, they go right back to the same stuff that's been an issue repeatedly in the past, where they get stuck in these bad isolations. Tatum takes some Kobe shots, and they don't look great. When they're moving the ball around and taking advantage of Porzingis and mismatches and playing differently, they do look like a different team in those spots, and they have looked pretty good. But he's also missed a good chunk of time, and there's no guarantee he's going to play every game in the playoffs.
And when it comes to closing games, obviously, you're going to be tested in those situations come playoff time. And like I said, last 3 minutes, one possession games, the team with the best net rating, the Denver Nuggets. Probably going to have to go through them come finals time, plus 45.5. Number three on that list, and I'll say number two because I don't anger my hometown folks. Mavs are number two, plus 35.9. Number three, the team that they're going to play Wednesday night, and I would say probably their toughest competition in the Eastern Conference, that's the Bucks, who are plus 30.3.
Well, look, the argument for as much of a mess as the Bucks have been all year, right? The argument for them, if they can get to the conference finals, assuming it's the conference finals, if they play Boston in the playoffs and everybody's healthy, the argument for them has always been they've got the best player in Giannis, and if the game's close, they've got the best closer on court, and they can win some close games. That's always been the argument because they can't guard Boston. The perimeter defense stinks, as we've talked about. It's going to be roulette for the Celtics trying to score on them. And the Celtics could make it ugly if they hit a bunch of threes and score a buck 40. But if the games are close, any game that's close to 5 minutes to go and it's Dame versus the Celtics, you're going to feel pretty good if you're the Bucks that Dame's going to be able to find a way to get that done. Even though he hasn't been the same version of Dame this year that he's been in the past, they brought him in to make clutch shots and he's made a bunch of clutch shots.
I know that the team's makeup has changed quite a bit since 2 years ago, but 2 years ago when they played in the playoffs and it went seven games and Middleton was out, you know, he had the wrist injury.
By the way, that's another subplot. He's finally came back and played on Sunday, but they have looked much different when he's been available and not, and he's had a lot of injuries this year. And he's a pretty, even though he's taken pretty big steps back defensively, his presence offensively is pretty vital for them still, even with everything else that's going on there.
Right. Well, look, in that game, Bobby Portis made like 8 3-pointers in the first. I don't know.
They had an NBA record 18 threes in the first half of that game. Like that.
But anyway, 2 years ago when they played in the playoffs.
Yeah.
By the end of that series, and again, asterisk, Middleton didn't play. Giannis was absolutely gassed. He absolutely had to do so much at both ends. By game seven in Boston, I think he ended up putting up good numbers. I don't remember what they were off the top of my head, but I sat next to Bontemps during the game in Boston, and I remember just Giannis just didn't have it in the tank to carry them at that level. The concept here is that with Dame on the roster, that you don't have to have the burden on Giannis as much. And so in a series at that kind of stakes, you would be able to rely on Dame. That's the one of the bases of making that trade.
Bezos.
So that would not involved. That would be a factor. And obviously Middleton, who's still on a pretty tight minutes restriction. And Bontemps, who else is questionable for this game? Jaylen Brown is questionable.
Jaylen is questionable with an ankle sprain. Drew Holiday is questionable with a AC joint sprain, and Sam Hauser is questionable with a ankle sprain also. Yeah.
So we'll see everybody who plays, but hopefully Giannis will be able to play.
So, but Wendy, you sat next to Bontemps for an entire seven-game series.
Unfortunately, the Celtics, all they freaking do is play seven-game series, and I'm always
All Brian does is complain about having to sit with me longer in playoff series because the Celtics take too long to either win or lose them. So
you talk the other thing is, how much did you have left in the tank at the end of that? My God.
Well, Never mind the Wendy
sleep updates.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. For some reason, and I'm not sure why, I wouldn't say he resembles an authority figure, but at the Celtics Arena, people think that Bontemps is an employee. And they're forever coming up to him and asking him, like,
for directions.
Where can we go to smoke?
This happens to me all the time at arenas. I don't really understand what it is. People come up to me and ask me for directions on where to go.
Red jackets.
I don't know.
He has cop energy.
You know who's got cop energy? Ed Malloy.
Oh yeah.
Who I saw. Yeah, but particularly Ed Malloy.
They are cops in some respect. Like that's their job. They're cops on the basketball court.
By the way,
Malloy definitely does.
I went to the Hawks Lakers game on Monday night.
A violation.
Oh, this was the first time I hadn't seen the Hawks in a couple of years. It was the first time I'd ever seen Jalen Johnson in person. His athleticism.
Saw a nice dunk, buddy.
I saw four of them. He had four of them in the first half.
The one on the Arkansas product. No, he's in Arkansas.
He's from Arkansas. Austin Reeves.
Yeah. Anyways, that was the one that got all the attention.
It happened 15 seconds into the game. And
that was a big time dunk, man. That was awesome.
And here's the thing I want to say about Jaylen. He has some of the longest legs in the NBA. And I expect he will jump over guys to dunk multiple times in his NBA career because he's got that kind of, you know how Ant has that incredible ability to spring upwards?
Yes. Like
we've seen it. He can do it, but he's taller. So he and LeBron were guarding each other a little bit in this game. And LeBron's about an inch taller than him, an inch or so taller than him. But Jalen Johnson's, well, I don't know what they're listed as, but I sat there and looked at him. LeBron's taller than him. And Jalen Johnson's waist is like 2 or 3 inches taller than LeBron's because his legs are so freaking long. The guy has an incredible ability. He's like, he is built to jump, that guy.
Yeah.
What an athlete.
Johnson's listed at 6'9". I was going to say that the dunk on Reeves is the one that got all the attention and would have gotten a lot more attention if it didn't happen after Ant Edwards knocked John Collins out of the game. But the one where he went baseline and like double pumped and threw down a reverse that was like out of a half court set was. Whew.
Yeah. He didn't have his best game because he's a bit of a spotty shooter from the outside and he didn't shoot the ball well from the outside. The Hawks didn't play well at all. They had beaten the Clippers the night before, but Mr. Johnson, you have my attention.
Yes.
Obviously he's one of the more exciting young players in the league, but to watch him in person was a great experience. And hopefully we have a great experience with Celtics Bucks on Wednesday night. Hopefully everybody plays.
More Hoop Collective podcast after this.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call or click Grainger.com or just stop by. Winning is an everyday mindset, and on the Ways to Win podcast, coaches Craig Robinson and John Calipari are here to help. Each week, Craig and Coach Cal use their on-court wisdom to solve your off-court problems. Whether it's trouble at home or a workplace dilemma, the coaches will help you find a winning formula for success. And you'll hear from prominent athletes, business leaders, and celebrities who reveal insights that made them into the leaders they are today. Like President Obama, who breaks down his bracket and talks about how he deals with pressure by projecting confidence, believing in your team, and taking criticism. Listen to Ways to Win wherever you get your podcasts. Hey, remember last week when I, you know, brought up the case that the Rockets, you know, might consider after Alperen Şengün went down for the season?
Yeah, maybe the Rockets. Remember this.
Maybe
I remember
the Rockets should examine.
They're going to be fighting for eighth. Yeah. They're going to be fighting for eighth, or maybe not. Or maybe not.
No, you encourage some Tankapalooza because they've got a top four protected pick heading to OKC.
I think I said they should think about it. I don't think I said that they should
You were a little more definitive than that.
You were a tanking lobbyist.
The point
I will agree with that.
Your Houston Rockets, league leading, 6-game winning streak, tied with the Celtics.
Yes.
And they got several easy games left.
In the winning streak. I see.
In the winning streak. Yes, yes. And what, 2.5 games back, I believe. Correct me if I'm wrong now. Of
loss column of both teams.
McMahon, so, Texas trivia question here. Remember when we used to do trivia?
Yes, sir. Yeah, what happened to that, USWB? You quit?
I can bring it back. It's been busy.
We had the awesome, you know, sound effect that Jackson put together. And
seriously.
Won't get it back anymore.
Anyway, here's some trivia, McMahon.
Here we go.
Texas
Wizard
trivia.
The quiz.
3 Rockets players in history have had games with 40 points, 10 rebounds, and 5 three-pointers.
The 5 three-pointers is tough.
One of them happened tonight.
Yeah, Jalen Green tonight. And by the way, reigning Western Conference Player of the Week, Jalen Green.
Jalen Green, James Harden, and Tracy McGrady.
You got it.
Wow,
Wizard of the quiz.
He's the whiz of the quiz. That's right.
There you go.
Listen.
If he was asking the question, he'd have said, name the 17 players in the Western Conference since 1973. And we'd be like, what? How many?
Just try to do enough guys so that you'll get one of them, Brian.
Hey, seriously, though.
I do need help.
Let's give a little bit of love to Jalen Green, because if we're being real honest, we've all been pretty lukewarm on him. former number two overall.
Luke Orm is, I think, being charitable.
It's has had a spotty career. He is playing the best basketball of his career right now. He has been a positive plus minus in all nine games in March. They are 8-1 in those games. He's averaging 26.6 points, over six rebounds, shooting 50 from the floor, 40 from 3-point range, 80 from the line. It was pretty clear.
Jalen phase two Green.
There you go. Hey, it was pretty clear. Ime Udoka wasn't necessarily always on board with Jalen Green. All you had to do is look at, like, was he playing in crunch time? This dude seems like he has turned a corner, and it's impressive that the Ryan look like they beat the Lizards tonight. Let's not get too up in arms about tonight's performance. But again, this is a bigger sample size. And the fact that they've been able to keep winning.
What does it say that they've been so good without Şengün?
No, don't do that. They've got other young talented players. Amen Thompson's one of them.
Yeah. They've had a couple nice wins in there. They've also played a pretty soft schedule generally. And by the way, their next five games, they have Chicago on Thursday, Utah Saturday, Portland Monday, all at home. And then they're in Oklahoma City and in Utah.
Buddy,
and in my opinion, they've got to go 4-1 in those five games to have a shot to make this interesting, because the schedule gets a lot harder after that. And they're still projected, by the way, to finish four games behind the other two teams. So it's not that realistic for them to make a real run. But if they go 4-1 in that stretch, it at least sets them up to be back at 500 and give themselves a chance to make a push, particularly if Steph or LeBron or somebody misses a few games, all of a sudden things get a little more interesting.
I would say this. Their schedule is harder than Golden State's coming down the stretch, but they have three games with the tanking Jazz and two games with the Blazers left.
The tank Blazers, yes.
So just keep that in mind.
They also got games with Dallas, Minnesota, the big game with Golden State, Miami, Dallas again, Orlando, and the Clippers. So they got some very tough ones mixing there too. But this next 10 days will say a lot. They go 4-1, take care of business in that stretch. It at least put them in a position to take advantage if there's some injuries or something.
Well, and it's also within the realm of possibility that Şengün could return during the regular season. When he got hurt and obviously avoided a major injury, but it's still it's a significant sprain and of his ankle.
Grade three, I believe they announced, right?
So we kind of assumed he'd be done for the season because they weren't going to have anything to play for. I was told there's a very real chance that it could come down to late in the regular season and does it make sense to bring him back? And obviously the number one thing is going to be, is he cleared medically? They're not going to bring him back if they're not playing for something, but they're putting themselves in a position where they've got a chance to play for something, and the other thing about that is when you're talking about a young team, like the guys that they're relying on, like their best players in tonight's game were Jalen Green, I don't have his age in front of me. I think he's only like
21 or 22, I think.
Yeah. Jabari Smith Jr., second year guy. Amen Thompson.
Had a really nice year, by the way, rookie. Too.
Like those were their three best players to have. And then, if you throw in Şengün in the mix, Green's 22. So you're like talking about a 22 and under core. And obviously they brought Betts in to expedite the process and kind of show them the way. But for a 22 and under core like that, to have the opportunity to play meaningful games late in the season, like you can scoff about how meaningful it is to be a 10 seed, but it means something to them. To have the opportunity to play in those games is
hey, look, this is
you're not just giving lip service. That's exactly what coaches say. They want their players to feel some pressure, even if the pressure isn't, to win a playoff series. But
this season's been an unequivocal success for me for Houston. These young guys have all played. They've made real developmental strides. I mean, the jury's still out a bit on Jalen Green. He's definitely been, this is the best he's, to your point, he's ever played clearly in his career.
The thing about Jalen Green is it's the end of year three extension discussion time.
I was going to say, pretty good timing for him to be playing the best basketball of his career.
I mean, I'd be pretty surprised if an extension gets done there, I would imagine, especially with the way this month has gone, my guess is both sides will wait and see how next year goes.
Well, but, he needs a nice contract. He's got some diapers to buy.
Well, but when you look at this year, Jabari Smith, we haven't talked about him a ton, but he's made real strides. He's looked really good. We've talked a lot about Sengun. He's great. Mm-hmm. I mean, Thompson has made real progress.
Sengun is also extension time.
Well, I think that one's not going to be real complicated.
That's
fun, Maxi. Little fun, Max.
So. I believe so, yeah. Sir. If I'm him, I sure ain't signing anything else.
Right. No, that's an easy one. But yeah, their young guys have played meaningful minutes. They've all gotten a chance to develop, and they've really built a foundation there to build on going forward, regardless of how these last few weeks go. I think it's been. I mean, we've joked about phase two, but. I think it's been a really successful year for them all around.
They're taking massive strides. And I'll tell you what, they are excited about Amen Thompson. And he can't
shoot. As they should be.
He can't shoot, but he can play. He is a big, athletic, wing playmaker type. He's almost like a young Ben Simmons in that he's not quite as big, but he is that athletic. He does have that kind of those kind of instincts and feel. He's also got big time motor. He is a competitor, and a guy who has potential to be one of the best on ball defenders in the league. And he's really been a big, big factor in their little run here in March as well. And you know, it's an exciting thing when you're trying to get, you know, you're trying to take strides as this team that went through a really painful rebuild, and you've got these young guys that are you know, kind of carrying you into a chance to make the play-in. And scoff that all you want, but it's major progress.
Well, and by the way, we talked the other day about the Spurs and the growth that they're going to need to make over the next couple of years here with Victor. And like, this is just another example. Like, Houston's made a real step forward this year. Like, it's going to take a lot for the Spurs to be better than the Rockets next year. And that's, you know, you start stacking up teams there. The West is just loaded. And like, you're going to have a bunch of these teams like Houston next year is going to say, hey, we should be in the play-in or pushing, having a chance to make the playoffs. And like, you can, you know, they're going to be trying to take a meaningful step forward. Like there could be 12, 13 teams in the West that go into next season thinking they could be a top 16 or top 18. So it's just going to be a bloodbath. Even more than this year, I think next year with the way things are shaking up right now.
What about the Lakers and Warriors offseason? Just kidding. Just kidding. All right. It's almost 2 a.m. I'm going to let Jackson go to work on this. Thank you to Mr. Bontemps for staying up late on the East Coast. Thank you to Mr. McMahon for pulling double duty, going another game, doing another podcast. Thank you for listening and watching us at the Hoop Collective. We'll talk to you soon.
Adios, amigos.